The Iowa caucuses. Yes, it's 1 month away, but it's the first voting in the presidential race. We're going to have other news of the day, but let's start here. This week, former New York Governor George Pataki quietly dropped out of the race, leaving hardly a trace. There was a shakeup in Ben Carson's camp. And Donald Trump, who's called Jeb Bush low energy, had some choice words for the couple he once invited to his wedding, Bill and Hillary Clinton.
And by the way, low energy can be applied to Hillary. I just don't like to use the same thing twice on one of my enemies, right? Because I consider them enemies. We view this as war. Don't we view this as war? It's war.
War. Well, our anthem sounds way too cheery given that, but time for a weekly 2016 roundtable, so hit it.
Here and now.
Okay, and finally, it is 2016. Joining us, Jesse Holland, manager of the AP Politics social media accounts and author of the just-published The Invisibles, The Untold Story of African-American Slavery Inside the White House. Jesse, can't wait to talk to you about that, but welcome to our matter today.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Same to you. And Rebecca Cinderbrand, politics news editor for The Washington Post. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
And, of course, it's a bumpy start for Ben Carson. Let's start there. His top two staffers resigned right after the campaign announced it had raised roughly $23 million in donations over the last 3 months. That's the highest total declared so far of any of the candidates. Here's Carson on Fox News talking about the staffing changes.
There will be some changes made so that the campaign is more consistent with me. With the way that I am, which is not, you know, confrontational and, you know, attacking other people.
Like that other guy we shall not mention. Let's start with that, Rebecca Cinderbrand. What's going on here? He's been awfully quiet.
Yeah, this is the problem that's plagued the Carson campaign almost from the start. You think about it. Yesterday, we learned that Ben Carson's campaign raised $23 million. And we're not talking about that. We're talking about turmoil in the
right.
campaign. It's been that infrastructure from the very beginning. How much of the problem with the campaign is the candidate himself? How much is the people surrounding him? And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens now. You know, we've had the top two staffers, of course, left. Others have since left. There are maybe others to come. The former campaign manager was hinting. And who's stepping in now? It's a very interesting figure. It's someone, a retired general. This is his first presidential campaign.
Yeah.
He was a foreign policy advisor. And so this is he has said that Ben Carson doesn't have fans. He has believers. And he's called himself a believer. So we'll see where it goes from here. But it's very much, again, that untested kind of amateur run that represents Ben Carson himself, really.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's a couple other campaigns that you might say are in trouble, Jesse. Jeb Bush pulling back on TV ads. He wants to redirect resources to Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. But that's also following in the footsteps of Donald Trump, who hasn't used them. Now he's saying he will. And then Democrat Martin O'Malley didn't even qualify for Ohio's primary ballot. And only one person, a guy named Kenneth, showed up at one of his events on Monday in Iowa, although it was snowing. So what are your thoughts on those two campaigns?
Well, with Martin O'Malley, it seems that his road to even getting on the ballot is getting tougher and tougher. He's not penetrating at all. All of the air on the Democratic side is going to Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. It doesn't seem that Martin O'Malley is catching on at all. And the question is going to become, how long can he stay in this race at all? Or does he now pull back and try to catch on as a VP nominee for one of the two Democratic candidates? He's just not catching on at all. And with Jeb Bush, I mean, he's been in a free fall for a while. Yeah. And if he doesn't do something to catch the attention of the voters in Iowa and New Hampshire, he might have to start deciding whether he's going to pull out, too, like Governor Pataki did.
Yeah. And Jesse, I want to stay with you for a second, because Donald Trump, in this dust-up with the Clintons, also brought up Bill Clinton's dissing of Barack Obama in the 2008 campaign. South Carolina Congressman James Clyburn said that his comments, Clinton's then, were aimed at discouraging voter enthusiasm in the African-American community. Now Donald Trump is bringing it up. Your thoughts on this past coming back, particularly that racial past coming up now?
Well, if you're going to try to drive a wedge between Hillary Clinton and her bedrock support, though, that wedge would have to come in with the black voters. And Trump is trying to remind people that remind Democratic voters, especially minority voters, that the Clintons tried very hard to take Barack Obama down the first time when he was running as a senator from Illinois trying to get the Democratic nomination. The Clintons thought that Hillary Clinton should have been the candidate back then, and they tried every trick they had in the book to bring down Barack Obama, but it didn't work. And so now Trump is trying to hit them again in that sweet spot where that will to remind black voters that, hey, the president that you guys voted for, the Clintons tried to take him down back then. Now, will this work? I don't know, but it seems that Trump actually thinks it will because he's hitting that really hard right now.
Yeah. Well, Rebecca Cinderbrand, take a look at some of the other candidates hitting really hard. Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, Marco Rubio battling it out for the establishment vote. Here's Chris Christie knocking Marco Rubio for missing a Senate vote last month. This is a big spending bill.
Only in Washington could you have the guts to stand up and say I'm against something that you have a vote to vote no on and then just not go. And then put out a press release after it gets passed and say, this is why I was opposed to it. Well, dude, show up to work and vote no.
To which Rubio said, Christie's a funny guy who's never in New Jersey. So just this is sort of a lower tier card, if you will. Rebecca, how do you see this battle ending?
Oh, absolutely. This is the week, this past week, we really saw something that's been building for a while, which is kind of that establishment lane almost turning into a circular firing squad. We saw Jeb Bush's super PAC launching spots aimed at Marco Rubio, aimed at Kasich, aimed at Christie. They were taking on everyone. And the thinking is not just that coming out of Iowa, they can't afford to ignore it anymore. Mm. You know, the thinking for a long time was establishment candidates. They're not going to win in Iowa. They should just spend all their time in New Hampshire. Now we're seeing Christie and Rubio and Bush spending a lot of time on the ground in Iowa. For one thing, they don't want to let Cruz or Trump or whoever wins Iowa run away with it and gather so much momentum that the establishment lane becomes irrelevant. And also, they want to be able to lay claim to consolidating that establishment support heading into New Hampshire, which will be the critical race for them.
Well, Ted Cruz, Rebecca, is predicting the Republican race will be decided by March. You think?
No one wants to make any predictions here. Ted Cruz himself, not this year, Ted Cruz himself has prepared for a much longer haul than that. So, you know, he himself in the very beginning has planned for a long game. He's planning for contests that don't take place for months and months. He has staffers on the ground in the Virgin Islands preparing to kind of hunt down delegates there. So he's prepared for both scenarios. Yeah. He would like to wrap this up, but... Mm.
And one of the things we have to keep in mind that by March, the Republican race that we see now will completely change as other candidates start to drop out. Pataki's gone. You have two or three other Republican candidates drop out. The numbers that we see in these polls will completely change when the vote stops being split among nine different candidates.
Okay, Jesse Holland, we got just a few seconds here. What should we look for next week?
Oh, we have to look for next week. We saw the end. We saw another round of Hillary Clinton emails come out. So we're gonna keep looking through those emails, see if there's something good coming out of that. And we will also see more as Republicans start attacking each other as Iowa gets closer.
Right. That's Jesse Holland, manager of the AP Politics social media accounts, author of the just published The Invisibles, The Untold Story of African American Slavery Inside the White House. He's coming back to talk about that. And Rebecca Cinderbrand, politics news editor for The Washington Post. You write a book, we'll have you back too.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Thank
That's motivation. Thank you.